How's your bubble?
It's economic anxiety with Rod Oram.
We've touched on how the 2008 financial crisis came about, as well as what happened after and why. Now we look at more specific details of the aftermath, touch on why we might not have learned as well as we should have, and figure out whether we should be worried. We finished the last episode touching on a quote from Martin Wolf, which outlines how we have not yet mastered this particular financial system. Back to Rod on that point. I mean, my response to that is, does that mean that this next financial crisis, one, is because we haven't learnt from our mistakes, but two, also because it's an inevitable part of this financial system which we haven't mastered yet?
Your last question is the best and most fundamental one there. You know, it's always an evolution in systems because the global economy gets more complicated, more people need more things. We always learn how to do things better. But sometimes in that process, in that evolution, we make some big mistakes, as was apparent in the global financial crisis. So in answer to the first part of your response there, no, we haven't learned enough, or worse, we're starting to forget some of it. We should have learned. But the bigger point you're raising, and Martin raises, is that a far deeper sort of reinvention of finance is necessary. And there are some extremely interesting people on this. One of them is Lord King, who was governor of the Bank of England during the global financial crisis. Another person is Adair Turner, who was the chief financial regulator in the UK during the global financial crisis. There is serious thought going on, but it's not coming through in policy. I think central banks are very conscious that they have very few tools to work with when there is a next crisis. And so I hope they are thinking hard. But in all this, I don't want to be alarmist in one sense. It's very hard to predict where the next crisis will come from, when and how it will unfold. There are some highly uncomfortable things out there, or potentially dangerous things out there, like the shadow banks, like a corporate debt market, a corporate bond market that's gone crazy and is getting sort of flagged away all kinds of the usual controls over quality control and credit risk. That's particularly true in the US and China. But the other one is there are, as we've seen in the past, developing countries that have gone out on a limb financially. And when things start to fall apart, either politically or economically, that's where we see big trouble. Well, we've obviously got some terribly distressed countries like Venezuela at the moment, but Turkey is a real worry to the global financial system, both from a political point of view and its stability, but also from, as a result of that, a plunge in the value of its currency, then puts fantastic pressure on companies, individuals, people, whoever, who in Turkey have borrowed money overseas, because given the way the exchange rate's gone, it's now very, very expensive for them to pay back that money. So that's a classic developing economy trap. So those are some of the places that are looking pretty perilous. But I don't want to be alarmist in the sense that our banks were far more sensible before the GFC, and therefore came through the GFC much better than banks in the US and the UK. They were not doing subprime mortgage lending, for example, and they are well capitalized, but they do have very large domestic mortgage books, which could get pretty ugly when interest rates rise. They still have very large lending out to dairy farms, or you know, about the third of dairy farms which are heavily indebted, others aren't. So,
and what does it have to do with our housing bubble as well, I suppose?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Houses in Auckland are now, the basic ratio, median house price versus median income is about 9 times median income. That's pretty stratospheric. People are coping by making all sorts of sacrifices to have mortgages, but those are very expensive houses for them to pay off mortgages on. And then, of course, we have a growing number of people who can't afford houses, to buy houses, and therefore renting. And the rental market here is not as secure and stable for them as it needs to be. You know, if people are going to be long-term renters, they need to have more security of tenure than they've got. And then our central bank is very well respected internationally for the quality of its thinking and its systems and its disciplines. And it got us well through the global financial crisis. And I've got confidence in it to, you know, be alert to tensions and stresses as they rise.
In terms of, like you say, not to be alarmist, but a number of times when I sort of talk to people about this and the possibility of another one, the response is, you know, do I take my money out of the bank? How is it going to affect me personally, especially if you're a person that is or doesn't have a lot of assets, for example, or doesn't have a large amount of capital in the banking system? How is it going to affect those different people, I guess, material effects?
It's very sensible and appropriate to still have confidence in the strength and ongoing business of our banks. And so it's safe to keep money in banks here in New Zealand. There is, I've got one caveat about that. Pretty much every other developed country has a system of government guarantees on bank deposits. So if you've got your money in the bank and the bank fails, the government will guarantee that you'll get your deposits back, regardless of what happens to the bank. For political and philosophical reasons, we've gone down a different route in New Zealand, which means that bank deposits aren't insured. And if a bank were to fail, then under the system that being changed and evolved since the GFC and is yet to be tested, if you are a depositor in the bank, you might lose a proportion of your deposits as a way of to recapitalize the bank. But I want to stress there are absolutely no signs that any New Zealand bank is heading down that road, and the Reserve Bank, as the bank regulator, keeps a very careful eye on them. So that's not something to worry about, but it is something we should be lobbying government to change. It's weird not to. We need to keep pushing at governments to reinstate that. But that aside, and we should just work on that, not worry about it right now, our financial system is in good shape to weather some whatever pretty difficult weather will inevitably come.
At this point, we had spoken for about 40 minutes and run out of studio booking time. I asked if it was okay to call him back and bother him some more the following week, to which he agreed. Join us next time to find out how another crisis would come about.
Crisis? What crisis? That was Economic Anxiety with Rod Oram.